This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Post-match chat with chaps for that Millwall podcast, where it finished at the Coventry Building Society Arena. That's a mouthful. Coventry City 2, Millwall 1. And a game that for the first 60 minutes I felt we dominated. But again, the players, I'm sorry, they have to start taking accountability. Capitulated. Two goals conceded in 4 minutes. Two individual errors, which we'll talk about, meant we walk away empty-handed after a very, very good performance for the first 60. And overall, I thought we played quite well. And at times, we're playing some really nice football. But we still walk away empty-handed. And, you know, it was quite ironic today. Gary Rowett was in the studio. Obviously, Joe Edwards is now our manager. And both have been blamed at times for certain capitulations. The Blackburn one stands out last season under Gary Rowett's tenure. And obviously, a lot in recent weeks. We've now lost the most points from winning positions in the league, I believe. And both managers have been blamed, and I think the players now need to start taking accountability. It is clear that there is no bottle in this club from a player's perspective. And yeah, you might think that's a bit of an attack on the players, but this is, again, this is raw. I'm recording this literally almost straight after the game. I've not seen anything on socials. I've not replied to any WhatsApp messages. I haven't looked at anything in terms of interviews. This is just my unedited opinion based on watching 90 minutes on the telly. And it's just not good enough. The amount of individual errors, we need these players to step up, because I'm telling you, as good as we were for 60 minutes, it's no good if you then make two individual errors that lead us to conceding two and losing the game. And what's even more frustrating is Coventry are a very good side, and we managed to, the stats won't show it, but I felt we dominated for 60 minutes. Be interesting to hear what Coventry fans think. But look, let's again, as we always do, let's go back in time and let's talk about the team that started the game. So I guess the most noticeable absentee that maybe wasn't expected was Brooke Norton Cuffey. Again, don't know anything. Can only assume that he was injured. So the lineup was as follows. So Matty Sarkic in goal, a back three right to left of Jafet Tenkanga, Wes Harding and Jake Cooper. Right wing back was Danny McNamara. Left wing back was Joe Bryan. In the centre, Casper De Noor and George Honeyman, replacing George Saville that started the last game. And then a front three of Fleming on the left, Obafemi through the middle, and on the right-hand side, a start for Mr. Romain Essay. Some quotes before the game about Romain Essay being worthy of a start. I think the key bit I took from that, from his interview, Joe Edwards, I'm referring to, was he stepped it up in training. Again, I know nothing. I've no inside knowledge, but my assumption is that is key. Edwards wants to see players that are working for it in training, and therefore for that to be justified in terms of getting a starting berth. So SA starts the game. I don't even know, was Longman even on the bench? I don't even know if he was. Hutchinson clearly injured again. We heard the news that Kevin Nisbet is out for majority of the season. So this squad is just, it's just ridiculous. I mean, we knew when we signed Nisbet of his you know, how injury prone he was, albeit it's a hamstring injury. And now, his previous injuries were certainly on his knee. We get a lot of hamstring injuries. We really do. And in one of Rowitt's podcasts, not to deviate too much, he did talk about the difference in surface and how stark it is between the training ground and our ground. But again, no idea what that causes. But anyway, we don't need to go off on a tangent. So we could be 1-0 up, by the way, after I think it's about 39 seconds. We force a throw-in, I think, from literally from kickoff. Ball comes in, Harding flicks it on. That's a good chance. Honeyman is a good save from the keeper. Yeah, straight at him, but the keeper's got his position spot on. We could go 1-0 up. We don't. They have a chance on 5 where we give the ball away. I think it's on the edge of the area. Again, this is all raw, so I'm just trying to go from memory. It's Obafemi who gives the ball away. They break, as they often did, using the channels. Sakamoto, who is... I mean, he's a super player, Sakamoto. You know, any team that has the quality on the ball of Sakamoto and Callum O'Hare, and then the pure running power and physicality of Haji Wright. It's interesting because I don't think Haji Wright's a very good player in terms of technical ability, but his physicality caused us problems today. And clearly, they scored 2 goals. So, but they have a chance, a good chance. We then create one on 10 minutes as well. Obafemi creates a little half a yard, takes a shot. I think he's on target, but to no avail. And then we get our goal. So the goal is a long ball forward. Cooper's still up from, it must have been a set play. He flicks it onto Fleming. Fleming gets the ball on the left-hand side. He drives at the defender. He manages to kind of gets tackled, but at the same time, he manages to sort of lose the ball, but poke it towards Essa. And Essa, first time, hits the ball. I think the keeper's probably going to save it, but it actually takes a massive deflection off of, I think it's Binks, their centre-back, and it goes into the net. And Essa points to his watch. I don't know if that's him saying, it's about time I started. But he proves the doubters wrong, and he gets his goal, and we go 1-0 up. And, you know, we had quite a few chances in that first 30 minutes. I think the key one was Obafemi, literally only on 14 minutes, where he should make it 2. It's good work, a good ball sprayed out to Danny Matt. Danny Matt brings it down well, then cuts it back to Obafemi. Obafemi shoots, but the keeper does enough to get it away. That, to me, could and should have been 2-0. Does the game change? I don't know. What I will say is that when we don't get that second goal, unfortunately, this game just stunk of Middlesbrough at home. We were superb for the first 30, 40 minutes. We don't take our chances. And then, unfortunately, the other side do. And as soon as we concede a goal, we'll come onto that in the second half, we just don't look like we're able to stop sides, particularly with the attacking power that Coventry had. A couple of other chances in the first half. Good save from Sarkic. I think it was on 19 minutes. Another good save from Sarkic. I think he also made a good save on 5 that I mentioned. But they had a couple of good chances, and Sakamoto in particular, whether he was drifting inside where he had the opportunity that then Sarkic saved, that then ricocheted onto Haji Wright, and Haji Wright actually hit the post twice with Tanganga clearing it off the line. Sakamoto was causing us all sorts of problems, I felt, in that first half. And, you know, let's make no mistake about it. Coventry have invested a lot of money. I think they've even overspent from what they received for Victor Gyökeres last summer, you know, with Haji Wright, Van Uyck at right back. I don't know much the new signing Victor Torp cost, but he looked like a really good player in the centre of the park. Obviously, Sakamoto, I don't think they actually spent a lot of money on him. Ellis Sims sitting on the bench, £8 million striker. Like, it's just... Again, this is what we're up against. And Coventry City, you know, they've always played good football under Mark Robbins. And, you know, with the victory today, they go back into the top 6. And they probably are one of the best 6 sides in the league. But that's what's so frustrating. Because I felt we were the better side for an hour against one of the best 6 sides in the league. Which, to me, shows that we can do it. But half-time comes and we're 1-0 up. We remain at 1-0 up. again, Coventry had a few good chances towards the end of the half. I remember Casey Palmer having a good chance and Harding doing well. But we go in at half-time 1-0 up, and you always know that Coventry are not going to come out and play that same way in the second half. You know, they're going to come out and they're going to go at us. And the majority of the chances in the second half fell to Coventry. But in reality, and I'd love to see the XG, because I don't really recall them making any real clear-cut opportunities in the second half. Victor Torp had a couple of chances, one that was deflected over the bar after they scored their two goals, and also one just before. Sarkic always looked a little bit shaky. He comes for every cross or corner, but either flaps at it or you know, he got a few of them. And I think in the commentators said how brave he was for coming all of these. But I don't know. He doesn't give me much confidence, Sarkic. And we were to learn a little bit more later as to why. But they get their goal. In actual fact, before they get their goal, on the 60-minute mark, we make a couple of subs. They've also brought on Ellis Sims as well to kind of go two up front. They kept Hadji right on. But the subs that we made, the first subs, were Michael Obafemi coming off for Tom Bradshaw, and then Duncan Watmore also coming on for, who did he come on for? He came on for Romain Esse, who was booked in the first half. So those subs made sense to me. I felt that Obafemi was probably, you know, he played 45 last game, 60 this, kind of makes sense. And then Esse on a booking, Watmore's going to give you that kind of effort and tracking back. So those subs made sense to me. And again, Coventry had a lot of sort of territory, but I felt we defended our box quite well. I felt that Harding, Cooper and Tanganga were all kind of throwing their bodies at the line. I thought that over the 90 minutes, I thought Denor and Honeyman played well again, sort of throwing their bodies on the line. I have to say, my man of the match, I don't know why we took him off. I can only assume he was blowing or he's injured, was George Honeyman. I thought George Honeyman was outstanding for the time he was on the pitch. The amount of interceptions and tackles that he did, put a super free kick into the box on 69 that no one really anticipated. I thought George Honeyman was superb today. And he looks really at home in that central midfield. He's full of energy, full of running, aggression, bottle as well, which a lot of the players could learn from. But I'm jumping ahead because on 65, ball comes into the box and Hadji Wright is running around the six-yard box. And Tanganga, as he turns, he trips Hadji Wright. It is a penalty. It's a stupid foul to give away Tanganga, who before that, had played very well and dealt with Hadji Wright. Stupid penalty to give away. Hadji Wright steps up himself and just rolls it down the centre to make it 1-1. And then it's a case of, as I say, up to that point, they haven't really threatened us that much. And it's like, okay, well, how's your bottle? Well, your bottle is decided because 4 minutes later, they go 2-1 up. It's a long ball forward. Callum O'Hare picks it up halfway between the edge of our penalty area and the halfway line. He starts driving and Cooper steps out. Callum O'Hare goes past him. Cooper's got to bring him down. He has to bring him down. He's just glided past him. What then happens is obviously Harding or Tanganga has to go towards the ball. That leaves Hadji Wright completely open. Hadji Wright receives the ball, drives into the box. And I'm sorry, up to this point, Sarkic has had quite a good game. He's made a few good saves. He's come for everything, doesn't always get there, but a couple of times he come and got the ball. His distribution at times was good, but he has to save that. I'm sorry, I've only seen it again live. He's got to save that. And you've got two individual errors there, Tanganga for the penalty and Sarkic for the goal. And Coventry are a bloody good side, but they didn't create those two opportunities. We gave them away. That should be bread.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Butter for a championship goalkeeper. And this is the problem I have with Sarkic, and I've said this before. For most of the game, he will look like a decent £1.2, £1.3 million championship goalkeeper. But for whatever reason, he has a lapse of concentration, or he does something that you just expect him to do better with. And this was a perfect example of it. He's got to save that. Cooper with the earlier ever. He should have brought Callum O'Hare down. I believe it actually came from their goal kick as well, which is just unforgivable. But to concede two goals in 4 minutes, and let's be honest, knowing this group, the game's over. We're not going to get back into this. You know, commentary might not know that, but we're not going to get back into this. After winning 1-0 and a really good performance for 60 minutes, we find ourselves 2-1 down. The crowd start to up the ante. You know, Coventry are always a good away crowd. And then I'll give them credit for that. They create a decent atmosphere. It's personally not an atmosphere I'd ever want to be a part of because it's very, very different. It's the drum and that LA crap that they sing. But they got their tails up and they create a really good atmosphere. And there's just no way we're getting back into this. And then on 78, they have another chance to make it 3-1, by the way. Victor Torp on 71. Deflected effort comes off of Tanganga to go over the bar. But yeah, 78, we make two subs. And I have to say, I don't blame Edwards whatsoever for today. The players have to take accountability. I do find these two subs on 78 a little bit odd. And again, I don't know what I don't know, right? So I don't know whether Fleming was blown out of his backside, whether Honeyman was. But he takes off Fleming and Honeyman, who probably were our two best players, and brings on Saville, who didn't really impact the game when he came on. It's not at the end of that. It's a very difficult game to come on and impact. And Adam Mayer for his debut. It just felt like a weird sub. I would have preferred to have seen Joe Bryan go off and Adam Mayer come on and kept Fleming on the pitch, because I felt that what happened after that, although Mayer actually looked quite lively when he came on and he was really good at sort of driving and getting balls over the box, Fleming was kind of always that kind of other outlet in and around the centre circle, in around the box, whereas Mayer's a different type of player. So I thought that was a bit weird. And then it kind of petered out, to be honest. The last 10, 15 minutes, we didn't really create anything concrete. A couple of balls into the box, but other than that, nothing hugely concrete. I think Bradshaw had half a chance, but we didn't. And we lose the game 2-1. And, you know, I think if you'd have told me we'd lose the game 2-1 at Coventry before the game, I'd have probably said probably about right. But in terms of the way the game actually planned out, I felt we were the better side for 60 minutes. I felt we limited Coventry very well. We looked an attacking threat. We could and should have had more than one goal. But this group have got to start growing a pair, because we will go down. I promise you, this is not an over-exaggeration. We will go down if we do not start putting points on the board. We were very lucky yesterday that, and I tweeted this at half-time yesterday, that the results didn't stay as they were at half-time, because we were in, trust me, deep doo-doo if they did. QPR got a draw at home to Norwich. Huddersfield were 2-0 up at Southampton, pulled back to 2-2. Then they took a 3-2 lead. Thankfully, they lost 5-3 or 5-2, 5-3, I don't know. But other teams are proving they can win games. Other teams are proving that they're up for the fight. And if you don't think we're in a relegation battle, you're deluded, because we are. We've got Wednesday, we've got Ipswich at home, who, yes, they're not in a great run, but actually they played very well and were unlucky not to win that game yesterday. If you actually have a look and actually watch the game, they're very confident of a victory. It would be typical for Kiefer Moore to come and score a winner against us. Sheffield Wednesday, this following Saturday, is an absolute must win. Like, it is just, it's it's getting tight down there. I think we're now 4 points and three goal difference ahead of QPR. But they're proven they can score goals. They beat us. They beat us. So, look, I don't know why we're surprised about this group not having Bottle, considering what happened against Blackburn last season. But it's just not good enough. And I refuse to blame Edwards for today. I felt he set us up well. I felt the first 45, 60 minutes, we were very good. The first 30 minutes, we were bloody brilliant, if I do say so myself. And any Coventry fans, I would love to hear your perspective on this. You know, do you see a side that is different to the side you played before? First question. Do you see a side that actually, for the first 45, 60 minutes, you know, in all honesty, were probably better than you? But as soon as you scored, there was only one outcome. And if we know that, I'm sure the opposition do. And this is a frustrating thing. So I really would welcome Coventry fans to give us their perspective. I know there's quite a few Coventry fans that listen to the podcast. So we've got to pick up a minimum of 4 points from our next two games. Absolute minimum, because it is getting desperate. Positives from today. Honeyman, man of the match for me by a mile. Another positive would be I thought Denor played quite well and coming through 90 minutes. Another positive would be that we Obafemi got some minutes and looked a bit more of the Obafemi I thought we were going to sign. Probably should and could have scored. And then I think the other positive would be that Ryan Leonard was back on the bench as an unused substitute. I think it's fair to say Adam Mayo was a bit of a positive. He come on, he looked direct. Obviously, the kid's thrown it in the deep end, but he looked direct. He put a few good balls into the box. But let's talk about the players. So Sarkic, until he conceded that second goal, I thought he did quite well. He made a couple of saves in the first half. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. Again, for him, as well as the rest of the club, rest of the players, I don't know. But he did quite well, but he's got to do better with that second goal. I'm sorry, with a better goalkeeper, that doesn't happen. It doesn't, and it's just... Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He's certainly a player that has made his fair few share of errors. Let's leave it at that. And he's starting to cost us points, and more points than I think he's saving us. The back three, given the performance against Hull, I was surprised Harding started. Harding, for me, there was a few misplaced passes, but defensively, he actually was not bad today, in fairness. And if you look at the amount of blocks and interceptions and tackles he did, factually, he wasn't that bad. Tanganga had a great game up until he made that one cock-up and conceded the penalty. Cooper was okay. Again, lots of blocks, tackles and things. I thought he was a little bit better today. But he's just so clumsy. He just puts his arms all over players. He gives free kicks away. And again, for me, for their second goal, he should have brought the player down. He should have brought Callum O'Hare down. The two centre midfielders I thought were really good. I thought George Honeyman in particular was... epitomised everything we need in the situation we're in. So he gets my man in the match. I thought Denor was pretty good as well. I felt that at times, especially in that first half, you know, obviously commentary about Ben Sheaf, I felt he's got sort of bossed that central midfield, Casper Denor, in the first half. And then the front three, SA obviously scored a goal. So that's his job. But he was okay, blew hot and cold in that first half. There's some bits he did where he took players on and stuff like that. I thought he was good, and I think he warrants another start, Romain Essay, and obviously delighted for him to get his goal. I felt Obafemi looked sharp, created quite a few opportunities. I think he probably had two or three shots on goal, and he probably would have felt particularly that chance on 14 where he should have made it 2-0 and the game could have been completely different. But I liked what I saw, obviously having the fact he misses those chances, and unfortunately, when he makes a mistake, he doesn't go as punished some of the players at the back. And then I thought Zian Fleming has kept his kind of performance levels up for the last few games. He's one of our best players. You could tell he's working very hard for the team. In theory, created our goal. And I thought he was very good and probably close to man of the match, which is why I found it even more strange that Edwards decided to take Honeyman and Fleming off. But again, I don't know what I don't know. They could have been injured. They could be blowing on empty. Don't know. Subs. I like what I saw of Adam Mayer. Obviously, it's going to take him time, but that's a perfect opportunity for him to come on, right? Just get on the pitch, son, and run at him and see what you can do. And he definitely did that. Bradshaw did what he does, which is just hassle. Had a half a chance, but nothing else. Saville didn't really get into the game. And I've completely forgotten about talking about Joe Bryan and Danny Mac. Joe Bryan, I thought he was pretty good, actually, to be fair. Mainly going forward, Sakamoto always seemed to be free. I don't know whether that is because Joe Bryan or because the fact that we were playing a five and it was between Joe Bryan and Jake Cooper. I don't know. I need to watch it back. So what I will say is defensively, it's difficult for me to assess Joe Bryan. We all know that Sakamoto tore Murray Wallace a new one when Coventry beat us at the Den earlier this season. But from an attacking standpoint, I thought Joe Bryan had a decent game. Defensively, I've always got a question mark against him. On the right-hand side, bit the opposite, really. I thought Danny Mac defended pretty well. And I also felt that what Danny Mac is very good at is being high up the pitch, receiving the ball, and then maintaining possession from that position. What Danny Mac doesn't do and seemingly cannot do is beat a man. Every time he gets the ball and he's got to go up against one-on-one against someone, he cuts back in. That's what I want to see Danny Mac do a little bit more of. Or if he can't beat a man, then he needs to improve his crossing. But what I will say is I thought Danny Mac actually played pretty well today, in fairness. He's a very different type of player to Brook Norton Cuffey. But what Danny Mac did, just to repeat, that I felt he did very cleverly, was rather than position himself quite deep, and therefore, if you're deep, you've got to try and beat a man. He positioned himself quite far up the pitch and quite high and wide, which enabled him to receive the ball in some really good positions, and he played some quite good cutbacks. So I thought Danny Mac was pretty good. I thought he defended pretty well as well. So really good to see Danny Mac have a half-decent game. He was definitely in our top sort of three or four players for sure. But look, that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I guess to summarise, the players need to look at themselves today. I'd be interested to see what Edwards says. He probably feels sick and tired of saying the same things over and over again. But they need to have a look at themselves. There's no bottle in this group and it's just not good enough. And we can't play as well as we did today and walk away with nothing anymore. We can't. We keep losing points from winning positions. And what does that tell you about this group of players? A massive couple of weeks ahead. And if we don't get at least 4 points, I think, from the next two games, I think we'll be even closer to that relegation zone. So, yeah, just to depress your Sunday even more, I've had to have a few Guinnesses to get over it. but thanks, as always, for listening. Much appreciated. Appreciate you listening to my opinion, because that's all it is. It's just what I think is raw. It's unedited. And I try to remain a little bit pragmatic. Coventry fans really would welcome your perspective on it. Do you think you got a bit lucky today? Do you think we gifted you to the game? Do you think that we were better than sides you played before? Do you think we're too good to go down? Because I'm not so sure we are. But listen, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And we'll see you at the Den on Wednesday. Thanks a lot. Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.